This week's Torah reading is called Nosoi, which means to elevate, actually to count. And it is a direct continuation of the end of Parshas Bamidbar, the previous one, where the Torah starts counting the tribe of Levi. And it is divided into three families: the family of Kehos, which is counted at the end of Parshas Bamidbar; the family of Gershon, which is the start of the count of this particular Parshas, Parshas Nosoi; and then the count of Merari. Three children, three counts. And there's a famous question. Now, these people lived in the desert, and they traveled actually through the desert for almost 40 years. And they were a certain amount of people, very nice, but they passed away already. And we're not going to be in the desert anymore. It's not going to be the same amount of people, even if we are in the desert anymore. That people passed away. So what do we care about these counts? What do we care? Who were they and what they did, what they carried? That's it. It's over. It's never going to happen again. So, on the other hand, we know that the Torah is eternal, and it has eternal lessons for every single person, in every single place, in every single time. So, what do we do with this whole long account of people? How do we apply this to us today? And the answer is, even though, materially speaking, in a physical way, they're not going to be there anymore, that's over. However, they have a spiritual meaning. What's the spiritual meaning? So in order to understand this, we have to understand why they were actually going around the desert for 40 years. If God, for some reason, which is actually explained in Parshas Shlach, later in the Torah, but if for any reason they had to be in the desert for a number of years, why going around? Why roam in the desert? Why not being in one place? And the answer is, from a mystical point of view, the desert represents a place where there's no men. And that represents, again, spiritually speaking, a place where God is not revealed. There's no revelation of the man, so to speak, on his holy throne and so on. He's not revealed in a certain place. That place is called desert. And the traveling of the Jewish people through the desert for 40 years was about revealing the presence of God in those particular places. On one hand, subjugating the impurity that represents a concealment of the presence of God. And on the other hand, revealing, bringing down, so to speak, the presence of God in that particular place. That's what going, roaming, and traveling through the desert means. Now, it was many years ago. What does it mean for us today? Sometimes the society in which we live, the place, the people around us, are like a desert. They don't understand the presence of God. They don't understand the message of Judaism for Jews, for not Jews, and so on. They're not connected, so to speak. And a person might think, what am I doing over here? Life is a desert. The place where I live is a desert. So a person might think, I have to leave this place and I have to go somewhere else. Comes the Torah and says, wait a second. Your mission, the reason why God put you there, is for you to, on one hand, subjugate the impurity of the place, show what real values are, and on the other hand, bring down godliness in that place. Show how a connected to God person lives. That's from the inside to the outside. However, there's also work inside itself, inside each one of us. A person might look back at his own story, his own life, and think, my life was a desert. My life is a desert. The presence of God was never over there, and I behaved in a different way, and so on. That's what a person might think and fall into depression, or even give up and say, there's nothing else that I can do. What do you want from me right now? I'm already this number of years. I can't change, and so on. So we have to know that God started counting the children of Levi from 30 years on. That means that up to 30 years, they didn't do any of the work in the tabernacle and so on to reveal the presence of God and so on, serve God, nothing of that. And from 30 years on, they started working. That means that each one of us, beyond the fact of being 30 years old or not, doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old and he was a complete ignoramus. He didn't even know how to read. And even though he became the greatest of the greatest of the sages of all times. So each one of us has to know that at a particular time that you wake up and you say, hey, God has a message for me. From that moment on, you can actually start serving God. Just like the Levim, the Levites, so to speak, in the desert, that they had to carry the tabernacle throughout the desert in order to, again, subjugate impurity, go away from that, in order to project the presence of God, do good. You have the power to do that also. And furthermore, the Rambam says, Maimonides brings down very interesting law at the end of the laws of Shemitah, of the 7th year and the 50th year and so on. He brings a very interesting idea. Not just the Levim, the original Levites, so to speak, and those from the tribe of Levite, they are actually servants of God, but anyone, and he even says it like clearly, every single person from every single human being, like any person, Jew or not Jew, if you want to serve God, if you give yourself actually to serve God, to be in front of the line, so to speak, and to be the first one to go and do the right thing and so on, I, says the Rambam, I call him a Levi. I call him a Levite. And certainly God is his portion and so on. You can go look up the text. It's very interesting. Having said that, there's a message for each one of us of encouragement to know that whatever our situation is, if we really want it, we can be, quote unquote, the Levite. That doesn't mean that you're going to become a Levite. I'm not a Levite and I'm not going to become, even though I want to spread out his message and so on. But whatever the case is, God is your portion. And furthermore, this work actually divides into three parts. That's why we have three children of Levi. Child number one is Kehos. Kehos is related to learning Torah. Why? Because he carried, actually, his sub-tribe, so to speak, carried the ark with the Torah and the table with the bread and all kinds of very holy things. His work is a holy work. And therefore, that represents to us that we have to learn in order to be able to spread it out inside of us and outside of us. Then Gershon. Gershon, he used to carry the curtains that covered actually the tabernacle, not the inner parts like Kehos, rather the outer parts. And that represents, without going into all the details, tefillah, prayer, not just learning what the message is, what you have to do, what you don't have to do, and so on, but also prayer, connecting to God, which is something that encompasses and takes the person completely, like a word being said that goes around you, surrounds your whole life, like the curtains of the temple. Gershon used to carry this particular part of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, and that represents another part of the work. That means learn Torah, that's Kehos, that's fine. Then prayer, that's Gershon, and then comes Merari. Merari comes from the word mar. Mar means a bitter thing. A person has to know that sometimes you have to look inside of you and find that bitterness and transform it into sweetness, which is a very general concept. And again, the general idea of what this represents in our daily life is Merari used to carry the columns of wood, very high and heavy columns of wood, and that represents bitul, nullification. Why? Just like a column that is standing in one place and it doesn't move. It's there. As the Torah says in Parshas Truma, atzei shittim omdim, wood that came from a wood called shittim, a tree called shittim, omdim, standing. Like standing in one place, firm, really fixed, and not moving from the message of God to each one of us. So that's what Merari represents. Standing firm, bitul, give yourself to God and do what you have to do. Like they say, just do it. Okay, go and do things what you have to do. So on one hand, we have Kehos, learn Torah. On the other hand, we have Gershon, prayer. And then we have action. Do what you have to do. Do what the message of godliness for each one of us is. And through these three activities, we actually refine the world around us. We actually refine ourselves, and we make the world a dwelling place for God, just like the Jewish people going around the desert for 40 years, making the desert a place for the revelation of the presence of God.